Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of the Challenge All-Stars 2, Episode 5. It's so great when I get the episode numbers correct. I am joined, as always, by Lauren Pratt. But man, we got a comeback story for you. This guy was the king of All-Stars 1. Welcome back, Yes Duffy.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be back. This is fun. This is all fun. It's as long as I don't have to jump off a building or get yanked off a building, we're doing fine. We're good.
do you enjoy is the trivia for you just as much as it is for us, the viewer?
Oh, it's just torture. That's where I just know I might as well jump off the building anyway. I'm gonna just jump.
Yeah,
because I got nothing.
Yeah,
well, I got nothing.
TJ doesn't like that, so don't do that.
Got it. Don't pull a Katie.
I got to start with this because it is sitting there in the comments. Sam Higdon says, "Yes, why weren't you on this season?"
So why wasn't I on this season? You know, I of course fell in love with it all, and I wanted to. So this season was filmed over the summer. And I am with my children over the summer. They don't have school. And so we didn't have any childcare and they're not in school. And so I thought I needed to be, and my family thought it's best for me to be at home and working, but also with the kids and with the fam over the summer. And secondly, you know, share the wealth here. You know, it's like, yes! I'm not greedy. You know, I just want $500,000. Like, let's see who else wants, who's hungry, you know, who's going to get it. And then I get a little peek into how this whole thing works without me around.
Yeah, and absence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, I love you, yes, but if you win like four in a row, I don't like you as much.
No, it's boring, and I'm not gonna be like, I'm gonna beat you all again and win money again, and this is what, you know. No, like let's see how it. I want to see how it looks and how everybody else looks and meet them through the screen too.
Yeah, and you are seeing a completely different game season two than you saw on season one.
Wow. I'm just like made the right choice.
Oh yeah. This shit went from the Challenge All-Stars kumbaya by the campfire to we're playing Survivor now. I don't know if you knew that, but we decided this before we got here, and there's two tribes and you better be on one of them.
And there's no like calm voice of Jeff, you know, to help make, you know, like Survivor to sort of ease and get the discussions out. This is a free for all. This is like a bunch of sharks in a bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. I think TJ does add a little chum.
Yeah. And then they all have to go home and talk about it to each other. They're forced to talk about it. No hidden votes, no hiding, period.
Yeah. Hidden vote. I love hidden votes. Like, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of you not knowing everything that I'm thinking. That, like, I mean, if I'm sitting there during a deliberation and they're like, fair play, what do you think? And I'm just like, I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking. like what I'm thinking destroys my game.
Yeah, completely. I didn't realize how much it really could and how much it does, you know. And I watch Survivor more now too, partly because of you and also just others that I learn about that are just badass people that did this. And I relate to them now as I watch Survivor. I say, yeah, there's a lot of complexity there. That's cool. You know, the hidden votes is one of them.
Yeah. Are you watching current Survivor or binging old seasons?
Both, like, but yeah, I jump around. It's like having five unfinished books on the table or something, you know. I don't just go one through the other, but yeah, the current one I'm watching now too, and having fun with that.
So who are you rooting for to win the current season?
I don't have a favorite.
This is diplomatic. Yes, he does.
No, I didn't mean it that way. Like, I don't think of it that way. I'm more like studying, like, oh my god, there's so many little, it's like every little nugget of strategy, I just sort of am sticking in my pocket.
Yeah.
That's why I watch it. It's not as much of like falling in love with certain people and being like, I hope they make it. Because I know.
You mean to tell me your favorite is Heather?
What?
You mean to tell me your favorite castaway this season is Heather?
No.
Then?
No one's.
And to take somebody's, I mean, the idea of like taking somebody's extra vote and then voting them out so you can keep their idols and all that sort of stuff. I'm just like, oh man, I didn't realize that those little advantages, the physical advantage, it's so important, and that you can steal them and you can hold on to them to gain people's trust or not.
Yeah. The advantage have it. I mean, like I feel the advantages have made an impact in that. I don't think it helps the show. I think it hurts the show, to be honest with you, but none of the advantages have made an impact into like being played, like none of them. So, you know, we'll see if that changes on the finale, but you know, so,
and then there's a shot in the dark now, right? No one's done that, right?
Well, Sydney used hers, and if she hadn't have, she wouldn't have gone home. So yeah, the odds for that shot in the dark is like, Sydney's a smart girl. Do math. Like, yeah, she never do. Would you ever do a shot in the dark ever?
No. I think you got to claw onto your last moment until you fall. You know, just there's no give up. There's no. You got to fight your last fight. The last moment.
I think it's shitty odds, to be honest. And
they're really shitty odds.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like, just as a gambler, like, you know, I like to gamble. Like, that's like, I play the odds. Like, I'm not. So, anyway.
I'm still watching little details. Like, do they really sleep on bamboo for like weeks? I'm like, my goodness, you know, and on the challenge, it's like we're 3 weeks in and everyone's a little beat up and we're all complaining about this and that. And like life's hard. Yeah, we're a little bit like we're skinnier, we're beat up and we're bone, you know, sort of tired of all the things, some of us. And I'm just like, man, on Survivor, we're on the challenge, we're living in a mansion.
Yeah.
And we're complaining.
Yes. And you're complaining. Have you real quick, and then we're people, I assure you, we're going to talk the challenge All-Stars Season 2, Episode 5 super quickly. Have you watched any Australian Survivor?
No.
Okay, so you have Paramount Plus. It's the last three seasons are on there. And if you think you like U.S. Survivor, you love Australian Survivor. It's the best Survivor I've ever seen.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Do a little search on Paramount Plus, Australian Survivor. The only problem is it only has the last three seasons. So if you start with, you know, whatever the oldest season is, fast forward like the first 2 minutes, because Australian Survivor actually appreciates the legacy of Survivor and previous seasons and all that stuff. So as a result, the first episode of a new season goes, last time on Survivor, and they show you the final challenge, a little bit of the jury speech, and the presentation of the winner. So if you don't, because
there's a sort of continuity a little bit, but yeah, I mean, got it. But don't watch that.
So I mean, because I'm sure they're going to put the other ones up there eventually. So if you start with the oldest, which is season 4 of Australia, just skip the first couple minutes.
Thank you.
And so you don't ruin who won that previous season. Just friendly advice.
Thanks.
Who wants to know the end of a movie?
No, you don't. And then you have all these expectations.
Yeah, and it's like the one right before we just finished watching on the Patreon. Actually, I'll shoot you an email with the link so you can watch them all. Once again, on the first one, do not watch the first 3 minutes. But in a top 10 season of all time, it's crazy. Wow. Cool. Crazy. They're so good. Okay,
check it out.
Episode 5, previously on the challenge, Tina's camel toe might be the next to go.
is that better than last week's for you, Johnny?
Tina's camel toe has a special place in my heart. And I think most people's, to be honest with you.
she's proud. She's got no shame.
She's awesome. We're going to circle back to our opinion of Tina at the end of this episode. But at this point right here, and I'm not saying that my opinion is changing in any way. I love Tina, and I'm here for whatever Tina is here for. So she's a firecracker. So
yes.
So you've never played with Tina.
No, but I remember the old days, and so I've seen her and know of her as part of the Challenge family. And I remember the old, of course, the Tina Beth days and other things. But she is somebody who, from a game standpoint, is always came super smart, you know, like super. She's passionate. I can see why she's there. You know, she's a passionate person. She's outspoken. She can think on her feet. She can improvise. She's like, and it's all outward. You know, she doesn't hide. There's no hidden game.
Yeah,
you
know? Like
I overthink things.
Like I'm a huge fan of the villains, obviously, but at the same time, as a viewer, I appreciate passion no matter what side of the fence you fall on. So I mean, like if you're a good guy and you're passionate, and I see, like, I'm just like, all right, this isn't my path. However, I support your passion. Mm-hmm. So just as a viewer, like, I just mm-hmm. think there's this hierarchy of passion in reality television, mm-hmm. and those players, as I said, I might not be on the same side of the fence, but, you know, I'm with you as a viewer. And Tina, I am on the same side of the fence.
Totally entertaining. Totally, you know, I would pay tickets to see her show, you know, yeah. the Tina show. And I would go, yeah, because so. I know that she's, you know, she's really smart, and her jokes are hilarious too. And she's awesome. Her quips yeah. are good.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see her on season one and just see what she would have been able to do there. But I know so many people, including myself, when I saw her on the season two cast, I'm like, yes, yes. We need Tina here. Like, she's somebody that's going to bring the entertainment. She's going to bring the fire, going to bring the heat. And as a viewer, you need that type of entertainment, because you can't have all this, like we said, kumbaya in the house that mm-hmm. you did in season one.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. next, we hear from Ayana. She's not going to go in every time. Just a heads up to everybody thinking that that's a possibility of how this thing is going to go. That's great that she can whoop anyone. I'm guessing most of the men as well. But she would prefer not to do that if given the option.
That's what she said. You think you're going to pick me every time? No, thank you. You got another thing coming.
What do you think of Ayana? Because, like, a lot of people.
She was on my show. We went around the world together. 1999, we spent a lot of time together, 10 different countries.
So I feel like the first episode she got a hero edit, and the second episode maybe not so much. Okay. Yeah. I mean, include your bias of friendship. What do you think of Ayana thus far on the season?
You know, I'm excited to see Ayana come and play, because her and I have the same history and gap of time, and the family thing, the academic thing. We both just, like, went big and went deep for the past two decades. And then to see her come back and figure it out, I want to see what she does. The thing about Ayana, and she always was back in the day, and she still is now, is she's got many layers to Ayana. There's the sports competitor Ayana. There's the loving mother Ayana. There's the friend till you die Ayana. There's the, you know, I'll throw you off this boat in 2 seconds and arm wrestle you too Ayana. Like, there's all that. And so you only get to see, like, bits and pieces. And so I think it's kind of cool in different episodes. We're going to see. She's a passion, so we could talk about passionate.
Yeah,
she has got a cocktail of passion that is different than anybody else.
Yeah, I'm with you. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, this is a person, you know, whereas I don't know if she's a good guy or a bad guy, I don't care, I'm just with her for the passion. So
yeah, but I'm also with her with the lack of, like, real deep strategy. I'm just like, she's just figuring it out. So I'm like, oh, I relate to that. I know right. Where you're coming from.
So next, Melinda loves the support system this go round, and I just wanted to tell Melinda, should have been around last season. You would have really loved the support system. Wow, if you think this is good, it was really great. But as long as it's working for her, I'm cool.
Yeah, and, you know, if it's this sharky at this time in episode 5, even by now, like, she's still able to find the love and support, you know. Yeah. And then even through the screen and getting to know her, I think, you know, her sharing her experience and her truth, it was really amazing and special, you know. Yeah. And I think it's important.
Yeah, and we're going to get to her story a little bit later, but that's why I watch reality television, is these stories right here. So I mean, you know, I love, you know, TJ laughing when you fall off something, don't get me wrong, but I like the personal aspect of that. That's the lens that I'm looking to view these through. So but we'll get there. Next, Tech LT and Nehemiah, they are the three kings. I think at this point, they're called the Three Kings Alliance. I think later it's the King's Palace Alliance. And we see Tech Money wants to call out MJ. Tech Money, do not call out MJ, please. And and then later we learn that, no, it's not the Three Kings Alliance. It's Three Kings plus Steve for now.
For now, as you just said.
Is it because of the hands? Were the hands too pure to be a part of a Three King Alliance?
You got to get your hands dirty a little bit if you're a hand model. What you're gonna do?
So I don't think he can get his hand by with his contract. I don't think he can get his hands dirty. Did you see him?
Had to use his hands in this episode during the elimination. So
And he wasn't wearing gloves, was he?
No, he wasn't. I mean, you never know, that like button could have burned you right there, burned your hands.
Yeah, he did. Did you notice he wore the gloves a couple challenges ago? Yes.
I didn't notice, but I've heard.
He wore gloves and like forearm protectors. And I was just like, stop it. I get it. Stop it.
Like, wow. I have a friend of mine who is a modern dancer, professional modern dancer. And I'm like, I want to call her up and like say, hey, let's go roller skating. Let's go have some fun. Let's go ice skating. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe she can't. Yeah, you know, it's like that. Like, I don't want her to get injured, you know. They have certain things in their contracts. You know?
Yeah, back in the day, they used to have the Lords of London contract. You would put on yourself just in case you wanted to go enjoy life, and then you were protected. And then I don't even know if they're still in business, because like a lot of the professional wrestlers in the late 80s, they got those policies, and then they're like, yeah, hurt my back, go ahead and send me that money.
It's in the nature. It's same thing with us challengers. I feel like we live risky lifestyles in and outside of the challenge, a lot of us. So what you gonna do?
So next, we have a conversation with Tina and Casey, and I loved it. I mean, like, I love just honest Casey or honest Tina talking to, you know, wide-eyed Casey, and it's just like, you know, hey, this is where we're at. Like, you know, this is, you know, it wasn't one of those. I mean, I love it when people put it on for the camera, you know, to be entertaining. But, you know, just to see a real life conversation between two OGs is also just, you know, kind of like one of those peek behind the curtains. And I like those thrown in, you know, like those sprinkled in with the larger than life stuff. So
I agree.
Yes. Next, Tina says she's going to be diplomatic and play fair. And I was like, it's pronounced fair play, but close. I will give you credit. check my DMs, Tina.
What do you both think about like Tina's strategy in the sense of not really having alliances in this game?
You know, I think for Tina, I think she should be able to navigate, you know, to go in without an alliance and to know to have done this, played this before and say, I'm going to go in without an alliance is a pretty brave move, but I think Tina is extremely brave. I think so. She's like, all right, we're going to figure it out along the way. This is All Stars. We're all a little different. I'm going to show up and, you know, weave my way through this as I go. And I think she winds up got a little stuck for a minute, but she didn't lose control. You know, I think she then gained control, you know, stayed in control too. And still held her power.
I'm a fan of the alpha wolf mentality. It can bite you in the ass, but I mean, if you look on Survivor, and I feel like this is the closest that the challenge has been to Survivor, you know, just because it feels like two tribes. I feel like that swing vote typically in Survivor carries the most power. So like that swing vote can determine what tribe does have the power. And if you always put yourself in that swing vote position, then you always have the power.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. And either or you could be just in the background for a little while. I know I was. I was not even in All Stars 1. I wasn't a swing vote until a couple other times, maybe later. But like if you're also a free agent, you kind of can fade to the background for a little while, and then you can show up and be the most powerful person as an individual later.
Yeah. So I was called out I at Hearts Reality this weekend. Did you watch Winners at War, Survivor, the
last? Yeah. Week? Like 40.
Yeah, season 40.
Yeah.
So I saw like 3 years ago at Hearts Reality, I saw Sarah Lucina and Ben hanging out. And that weekend they were thick as thieves. And so going into Winners at War, you know, we're making our pregame guesses and talking about what we see throughout the season. And I was like, I would imagine that Ben and Sarah Lucina made an alliance after meeting at Hearts Reality and getting along. And so they went in with an alliance together, you know, along with us. And as soon as I walked up on Friday, Sarah Lucina goes, fair play. I want to say one thing. And Ben's there. And she goes, Ben and I did not go in with an alliance. I had an alliance with Tony and Sandra. That's the only alliance I went in with. She goes, I called Ben and it was like, hey, did you get the call? And he was so like, I don't know, you know. And she was just like, no alliance. This guy ain't saying nothing. He ain't showing any cards. I can't work with that. So she goes, I went in with Noel and Ben was like, I just wanted to be an alpha wolf. You know, I wanted to position myself in that swing spot and go from there because I knew about these other alliances and I didn't want to place myself in somewhere that I didn't want to be later. And so the conversation culminated with, obviously, Sarah Lucina listens to all my podcasts. They drive her insane. She can't listen to anything else. And Ben has no idea what a podcast is. So it was really revealing on so many fronts.
There's so many layers to whether how long they knew each other, whether they what they did or what they didn't do in the past. It's so hard to predict. I'm still learning. And then watching All Stars 2 really helps me in terms of sort of learning and studying these relationships and seeing who's who.
Yeah. But I'm a firm believer in that. You know, I do a lot of charity events because, you know, I love to support the charities first and foremost. And secondly, you know, when we do have the opportunities to interact, you know, I know that there's a potential to see these people, you know, potentially on a season, you know, with me. And I just get a good vibe from you. Like, I'm just like, you know, like, cause they're just like, hey, if we're out there, I'm just like, you're a good person. We're good. You know, mm-hmm. I don't care like what side of the fence you're on, good guy or bad guy, whatever. I'm a firm believer in, you know, good peeps is good peeps. But I'm not scared to say out, you know, like at this, you know, it's just like, would you work with me? I'm like, yeah, I'd work with you. Like, I like you, you know, but, you know, and there's plenty of people that are like, hey, would you work? I'm like, you never know. That is a no.
Yeah, but isn't the answer always yes, just in case you might need that person down the road?
I mean, I'll lie during the game. I don't personally feel that there's a need for me to lie outside the game. So, I'm confident enough in my skills that if you're not really that great a person, I don't want you to go walk through life thinking that you are. I don't know. Work harder.
What I hear from the other, you know, challengers often is that a lot of them are pretty good at separating. Like you mentioned, they can separate game from real life, real friendships. And so people who even they're friends with in, you know, real life or whatever, then on the game, when it's game time, they can actually really disagree and really be against each other or not, whatever, lie. I find that wild. I have no professional skills in that regard. So it's sort of one or the other to my own detriment, you know?
See, I can't separate friendship from game. So you would think like one of the biggest scumbags in the history of the show could. I can't. If you're my ride or die in real life, I'm not gonna cut the cord out there for a game. Because in my head, there has to be a way to make it with one of my ride or die real life people. Why do I have to potentially sacrifice a friendship? So I'd rather work with a friend. Like, what, you know, like, it's just like, yeah, I kept all these people I hate in real life. Like, what?
I don't have the Boston Rob mentality there. There you go.
I do not have the Boston Rob mentality. So I've said it for years, and Boston Rob is an immensely greater player than me because I can't separate the two. I mean, I just think you're a shitbag human. If you can fuck up, it's just like, yeah, I'll get another friend. And it's just like, I worked really hard to make this one. All right, next, we learned from here's where we learn about Melinda that the next challenge would have been on the scheduled due date for her daughter that Melinda lost at 5 months, and holy moly, this is an amazing, it's a terrible story, but it's an amazing story to tell. And to share, and you know, this is one of those reality television moments that I think is just incredible.
No, I totally agree. You know, hats off to her for sharing her truth, you know, and putting it out there to the world. And I think it's probably more common than we all realize, you know, children that don't make it all the way to full term, and the burden not of just growing the baby, but also dealing with then if the baby's not full term, that's the burdens are on women. You know, I think as men, we gotta listen and support and help them through the good and the hard and the difficult and all that before, during, and after, you know. Yeah. For her to share that was just so was really vulnerable and special, I think. And you know, as a male, we'll never understand.
No. I thought it was a great moment, and I'm so, you know, I wish it had never happened, but you know, the fact that it did happen, you know, she was able to share, and you know, and I think a lot of people can watch this and identify, relate, and think, and you know, and that's what makes good TV if you can do those things.
Yeah, right. And people who are straight up like her.
Yeah, I was glad she was able to share that moment with everyone, being super vulnerable, because so many people can relate to the situation that she did go through. And then John A being there, just being a recent mom herself and everything, and that heartfelt moment and just being able to be there for her.
Yep. Mm. Next, we have Casey putting on her jersey, little TNA. I appreciate that.
I saw that. I remember when, you know, when there's like, we're getting dressed, there's always a zoom. They're like, not on me really, but like, you know, they come around. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yes, you are one of the most attractive challengers of all time. I'm sure they were looking for you as well. Do not
just put my socks on. I just put in socks over my bunions, you know.
Yeah, your humility does not work with us. We have this there. A lot of people are just listening to this. There's a video version available at youtube.com/realitynsfw. Yes is one of the most handsome human beings on the planet. All right. It's time for the challenge. Lauren, explain, what are we watching on the daily?
Well, so for the daily, they are playing Bounce Back. And unfortunately for some people, they were not able to bounce back. But here's how it works. They had two giant trampolines stacked 20 feet above the water. What they had to do, get up the trampolines, clip down a puzzle piece. There was three puzzle pieces up there. They had to take them back to the beach. Once they collected all three of their puzzle pieces, then had to solve the math equations. First guy and first girl to complete this the quickest are the winners of the challenge. The two people that complete it the slowest go immediately into elimination.
All right. This looked exhausting. Like, if you miss one of those, like, TJ was
smacked.
TJ was so mean, and I get it. I know he loves the drive and all that, but Casey literally almost drowns, and she was just like, "I'm done." Like,
she was like, you know, you hit the water like that. Air in your lungs. It's just
It knocks everything, you know, and you have TJ hear that airplane. Yeah, that's you on the next one.
He had no mercy for her in that situation at all.
No, and I honestly, if she had just missed one and you know, and just like, yeah, I missed it, you know, sorry. She missed like what, four times?
That's what they showed us. I mean, she could have missed way more than that. We don't know. I think what the main issue is, those puzzle pieces looked extremely hard to even get down. Like, you had to slam it. It's not even just a little tap.
Yeah.
But it's also a height issue too. Was one where there's a height issue. So
yeah,
you know,
she was
one of the shorter ones.
She's shorter, and look at all you're using to get back to shore. And I mean, it's emotionally deflating when you don't get it, but it's physically deflating. You know, you're up there. What's left in her to propel her to knock it? You know, just like, look, you know, let's just say the edit was correct and she jumped off what, four times or three times? Mm-hmm. That's a lot to put the human body through, like, you know, because plus people are look like, you know, you're making the walk of shame back, and you're just like, fuck.
What's wild is they're not looking at the water. That's what's nuts. They're getting their bells rung when they hit. So they're looking at the puzzle piece. And so they grab it however they can, and their body lines up wherever. They don't even know what hit them. That's totally different than just jumping off something. So we all know what it's like to jump off something high. That's fine. You just tense up and do your thing. That wasn't happening to a lot of them. I feel bad. That hurt. I feel like you got hit, blindsided by a car.
Every time. Not a small leap either. Like 20 feet above the water. Like that's pretty high up there, especially the way that they were falling. I mean, Jasmine's fall into the water like face first. Like I thought she was completely going to be done after that.
But then that's to me what some of this is so impressive, you know, inspiring to me too, to see her then come back and go for it. You know?
Yeah. Well, like LT, we got the LT cam of him dropping. He was in the air much longer than a human being should have. Like, I'm just like, LT should have hit the water the fastest. And I'm just like, if we're getting real time of like you could literally count like one Mississippi, two, that means you're high as fuck.
I heard also that some people were a little freaked out or stressed too, because when you're falling with a life jacket, it's a bit different. So that, I guess there was a life jacket option for some, or they're still, you know, people are trying to figure out what's the best, you know, uniform to wear, or what are the best protocols for some of these things, because falling with a life jacket can also sometimes mess with your, it could, based on how it's fitting, can mess with you. So when these challenges are happening, there's usually a lot of uncertainty, and the level of sort of fear or stress amongst the entire group is usually really high. And I think we get to see some of that, but I bet it, when we see even some of it, I bet it's a lot more.
All right. So Casey, you have a problem with her stopping on this challenge?
No, not at all. I don't. I think people know they should know their limits and their boundaries. You know, it's not worth, you know, hurting yourself in a way for any amount of, you know, the medical bill will be more than her winnings if she stuck around, if she got really hurt. So No, I think it's fair. People should be allowed to hit the brakes, you know, and it shows how hard everything is.
Yeah. I mean, like as I said, if she had stopped after one, I would have been like, come on, Casey, try a little hard. Like, you know, we saw like three or four. I'm just like, girl, be smart. Stop.
It's wild. And because then you see someone, you know, like her, they're like, I'd rather just go into elimination. And we know elimination is hard, but you know that it was a tough choice for them, but they should be able to just make that choice.
Yeah. And it wasn't like afterwards she was bragging like, haha, I didn't have to finish it. She was just like, oh, like it killed me to stop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think that was lip service. I think it killed her to stop.
Yeah. Right. And she even said back in the day, like she probably wouldn't even made one jump. So the fact that she still tried to do it. And you're right. I think if she was able to get that second piece down without having to keep going again and again, she might have been able to finish. But you know what? She said, I want to give myself an opportunity to go into elimination. She didn't end up having to do so. But at the same time, that's a choice that she's willing to make. And that is maybe a better game move for her, as you said, than getting physically injured.
Yeah. Yeah. We all wind up limping away after each of these challenges and licking our wounds a little bit. So if you can come out a little bit less, you know, scathed, the better.
Yeah, we had her on the podcast last week, and you know, one of her biggest fears, you know, dating back to, you know, the last time she was on a challenge, you know, is the height thing, and so she was doing like a rock climbing and stuff to get over the fear.
So, that's interesting. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, no, she was ready to tell her redemption story. And a lot of people don't. And I love, I mean, like it pains me, you know, it's like, you know, people go on Survivor, just like, I don't know how to make a fire. I'm like, then don't fucking go play Survivor.
Right. Well, that's a funny thing about the challenge too, is there are people on a challenge who can barely swim. And I'm like, hold on, hold on. You know, like just go, there's a pool near you. Just go.
YMCA.
Just go. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta do the, you know, the bare minimum.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, if you're on a challenge and you go to the YMCA, you don't even have to pay for a membership. You can be like, hey, I'm about to go do the challenge, and when I get back, I'm going to put, like, thanks to the YMCA so-and-so for teaching me how to swim. I guarantee you can go to the YMCA, learn how to swim for free. Guaranteed. Yeah. So, or you can support your local YMCA. So next we have John A. She's having some difficulty, but we get a song by S Club 7, which I was not familiar with, thank goodness, called Bring It All Back. I thought it was the Jackson 5.
It definitely was a song they crafted for her. You could tell it was her moment.
Yeah. So Pete, you went obscure. I'll give you credit, but I was not familiar with this one. I do not have that. I like to show Pete, who does the scoring for he did your season, and he's back again this season to do the scoring with some of these great hits and deep cuts. I love to show off the vinyl that I too possess. This is not in the collection. So.
Mm-hmm. Darn it! I was hoping to see it, Johnny.
Yeah, sorry. Next, we learn from Darrell that Tech don't know how to divide.
Poor Tech. He made it so far.
Math is hard. Math is really, I mean, as I've learned from Barbie memes, math is hard.
Tech came to play, though. You know, this is a new and improved Tech.
I
do think, you know,
you didn't see that guy. You didn't see that guy last season, did you?
No. He just came like straight off the comedy stage, you know, as an actor and a producer guy, you know, in All Stars 1. But now he's trained as a challenger, and he's a smart dude. So it's cool. He's coming strong.
I love it. I didn't expect any more from him last time. Mm-hmm. And I was just happy to see him. So, but when he came back, I was just like, this is interesting. And then to see that, you know, coming back with the Eye of the Tiger, I'm just like, I wasn't expecting this, but I'm for it.
Totally. So, totally.
Yeah. It's a great story. Let's see. The King's Palace has been exposed. So we're no longer the three kings. This is worse than Big Brother. You guys changing your names, pick an alliance name and stick with it. Come on. It's a rule. All right. Next, Steve does two at one time. If only he had listened to the rules.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I saw him. He jumped off, thought he'd get smart. You know, don't overthink it. You know, overthink it. And that wound up costing him big.
Yes. Next we have Tina's very unique technique to the scoring of Blur, song number 2, one of my favorite songs of all time. Very expensive on vinyl. And so I have Gorillaz. I feel like that counts, but it is not Blur, song number 2. So way to go there. And then lastly, as far as the amazing scoring. No, we're not at amazing scoring yet. We're about to get there. Fire Burning by Red One and Sean Kingston for Jasmine. And this was the feel good story of the daily.
It was. I was happy that she was able to complete it. Good for Jasmine. Yes, I do want to know, do you think there's in this particular challenge, because we see obviously they were out there for a really long time because it gets dark by the time they're finished. Do you think going earlier in this type of challenge versus later is more beneficial?
Yeah, this is one thing I thought of exactly, is these not only do they take all day sometimes, but I think going earlier, like this is the kind of thing where there are tweaks that you'll learn along the way. And the people who go first are the ones who have the most risk. And then when you go towards the end, I think it's better. You've seen, you know who you have to beat. You know how fast you have to go. You know how, like, and even in terms of people when they're resetting up the hanging the puzzle pieces or whatever they're doing, like everyone's in a groove and your mind is in a groove and it's way less weird. Going first is horrible. You don't know if you went fast or slow, no matter what pace you did it, you don't know.
But do you like the adrenaline you're bringing in coming in first, though?
You mean going first or coming in first?
Going first.
No, I just don't want to go first ever. Okay. It is a massive disadvantage.
Sure.
There's no, you know, because then everyone sees you do it and they know they got to beat you.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, if I get to see 10 people go first, I in my head, I can even sort of count it out a little bit and see, all right, they're going that fast. They're going that fast. All right. If I want to beat them, I got to push.
Yeah. I feel like I kind of want to get it over with, but I don't want to be first.
Like right in the middle, I think, especially in this type of challenge, because I feel like light plays a factor, because being dark and having to be able to swim and find your way, I feel like that would make it more difficult.
I think you're totally right. And you can't judge distance as well. And that was everything with that last trampoline and being able to jump up and then like hitting it down was something that they learned over time.
Yeah. Yeah,
and tried to grab it, you even if you get it off, you're like back flopping in the water, and then, you know, you're done. You can't do it again because you're hurting too bad.
Because they didn't know how much force at the beginning by going first, you were gonna have to put on those puzzle pieces. So it's easier to be able to see someone do that. But then again, I just think in this challenge in particular, right in the middle would probably be best, because you don't want to get stuck in the dark and not be able to see as well, especially on your last jump.
Oh, totally. I mean, jumping in the dark or close to the dark is always, and then even waiting all day. Another thing is, it's hot in the sun. I see people, you see like some shots over their shoulders and stuff. Their shoulders are all sunburned. They didn't expect to be out there all day. That happens too. You know, you'll be exhausted before you even start.
Yep. And shockingly, as is the case every time, the guys were literally seconds apart.
Stop, I know, TJ. Well, yeah, that's something. So one note about that is that it is a concern of ours and a concern of mine, of course, around like who's timing these things, when do they start, did they stop, how fair is this? We got to make sure it's all fair. And that said, like with all of us like obsessing over it and making sure TJ and others are like timing it right, it really is time. At least I trust it. I do. I don't think that there's any scooting around of the times. Even the sequence and stuff often is totally correct.
Yeah, but I'm guessing like it's probably a minute apart, and TJ is technically is like it's literally seconds apart. And I'm just like, yeah, like 69 or you know like 85. So it didn't come down to 2 seconds between the two.
Right. Yeah, I know it makes it sound more exciting, but
oh yeah,
but I also think that whether that was true or not, that they're 2 seconds apart, that also helps because when deliberation comes, you can also say like, oh well, last place or second to last, they were so close, let's just throw in either one of them or whatever. You know, that way you know if he informs you of who was last or second to last or third to last, then like, oh, he said your name and you might, you know, you're also potentially in for getting thrown in.
But yeah, I think they go to that well a little too often. Mm. It's down to Brad and Darrell. Darrell wins. Brad's happy. No blood on his hands. And I don't think Darrell was that happy.
No, because you have to call out four names with that. And also, did everyone notice Brad did blink this episode?
Oh, we talked about it last episode.
Oh, wow. I don't believe it. Yeah, must have been Photoshop. That was some after editing.
I was about to say when Pete scored it, the animators did that. So, and on the women's side, Jody killed it. And in case you're wondering, before we go to commercial break, who she wants? Oh, she lets us know right out of the gate. She wants Tina. So with that, let's get a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back in a few.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back. Yes, I sent you a little something during the commercial break. No, it is not Blue Chew. I know you want it, but I sent you the links to 2018's Australian Survivor.
Oh, thanks, man.
There awesome. You go.
So you're that lucky that you get the hookups. I'm telling you. He doesn't just do that for everyone.
Wow, awesome.
I do not.
Excited to see it. Thank you. That'll be great. I want to see it. And I want to try my hand at sleeping on a bamboo.
I want to see you out there.
So, and I'll just get sent home, but you know.
No. I'm telling you right. We're good. So there's plenty of girls I want to look at out there, but yes, you're an attractive man. I mean, you know, if I have a choice of looking at Rupert all day or you, I'm choosing you. Okay. And feel free to tell Rupert. I'm coming off.
I'm confident Rupert does not watch this.
Yeah, it's not a secret. I would
No, it's not. But yeah. I guarantee nothing would hurt his feelings anymore coming from you.
No. All right. So we're back in the house, and Brad is talking to Darrell and Joey about an alliance, and it seems as though Brad was working with the King's Palace last episode, and it seems as though he has changed his tune.
I noticed that too, and I never met Brad, and so this is part of me doing my homework here, and I'm just like, wow, is this a really strategic move here? Is Brad just playing chess right now, or is he going to end up burned? You can't tell.
I don't know. I feel burned is the outcome. It's tough to flip flop. It's very tough to like there. It takes a very skilled, you know, like a Johnny Fairplay to do something like that. So I don't know that maybe Brad has that in his wheelhouse that I'm not aware of, but
anyway. I could see him getting burned. But my only thing is he's so strong in elimination that it's going to be kind of tough to get rid of him.
That's true. So, but you know, time will tell. So it's time for deliberation, and Darrell and Jody choose Tech, Tyler, Tina, and Ayana, trying to burn Ayana's life shield so she can't protect Tech and Casey as the backup if she chooses to use it for herself. Very strategic.
Getting complicated here, but so strategic. That whole idea of flushing out the lifesaver there.
Flushing out the idol, brother. Oh, it's Survivor 101.
Really? Okay, yeah. So they're trying to get it out, but then they didn't do it to Kahuta. So we know where they stand. You know, you learn.
And how amazing is Ayana going, so I'm just making sure that you guys are attacking me. I just want that clarified because I got a life shield and so does Brad. And you ain't flushing out his, but you're flushing out mine. So we good? Like, I am fully aware of everything happening here. And they don't use their words carefully or correctly. And so I feel the battle lines have been drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Ayana has two more people that she's going to be going for. But yes, I want to talk about the life shield real quick, because in your season, there was that. But then there's this whole new dynamic to this season with the life shield. So kind of being a part of the first season and witnessing this season, which one do you somewhat like better?
Well, in our season, we never really got to like use it in all of its glory. You know, Mark had used it finally to like to stir the pot and get, you know, see what he rolled the dice to see how it was going to happen, what was going to happen. Now it's totally different. I mean, it was obvious that in All-Stars 1, it was avoiding elimination was important, and it generally is. But now there's this incentive if you win elimination. So I don't know. I think it's exciting. I think it's a twist that gives a lot more power to people who might deserve it. You know, I think it's exciting.
So,
but if you just flush them out, then like, well, then that's boring too.
Yeah. But do you see yourself, if you were to go back, like maybe not taking that back seat and potentially putting yourself in a power position earlier than normal because of that power of the life shield?
Yeah. I think if I'm back, I can't unsee all of these strategies and, you know, pros, cons, failures and successes of this game. So like the game is in me. And so, yes, you'll see me if I'm in there, you know, I will try my hand at the game as well. That it's still overwhelming to me, but I'm watching and learning fast.
Okay. So rumor and innuendo, you might be on season 3.
I might. I'm not retired. Let me just say that. Okay. There's, you know, there is a crown to be taken, and you got to take it. And then I'll take it back.
I feel like that's a yes, but I could just be referring to Yes's name. you really leave the door open there. Yes. With
Well, I think part of it is they always want to see with All-Stars that everyone wants to see. Oh, where'd All-Stars 1 go? Okay, it was good enough. Let's rock 2. And then they're going to see how long we could take it, you know. And I think 2 is a bit of a predictor for 3. And so we'll see where it goes. I wanted to just step back and just see what happens for a little while. But I'm not out of the game.
Well, if you were to go back, I feel like that's the smart move. I really do. So, because this is not the game that you played.
Oh, no. That's it. I figured at 2, I was like, I'll just get whooped. Everyone will be just coming for me. Because now they're coming for me.
Yeah.
So I just said, I got to take a break. Now, if someone else wins this one, then at least there's a couple of us you got to come for.
Yeah.
No, or you just wanted to see who your actual competition would be for the future.
Yeah, I need to.
There you go. All right. So let's see. So so Ayana does use the life shield to protect herself. I was hoping that she was going to still use it to protect Tech Money and then just be like, I'm protecting Tech Money, but I assure you, you do not want to put me up as the replacement.
I thought so, too. Because she has that ability to just be like, you don't want to go against me. What? Who's going to go against me? Pick me, you know? And then be like, no.
Yeah.
So
at this point, who do you think could actually beat Ayana in an elimination?
Derek's gone.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. She's good at a lot of things. She's very smart. She's good at puzzles. She's good at math. All that, and she's got that. She's, you know, she was a track star, and she's got it in her. It's in her bones. It's in her DNA. So, she's gonna go all out. I don't know. I wouldn't want to have to go up against Ayana.
You think there's anyone sure. Like is Jody possibly?
Jody's good. She also got that skill. Got those skills. Got that heart. Got the track record. That's for sure. As a champion. So, Would the world want to see that? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that's the battle I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impressive.
I feel like the storytelling is taking us potentially there. And so if it doesn't happen, it's going to be like, bastards.
We thought it was going to be a Nehemiah versus Derek, and we did not get that, though.
We did not get Nehemiah versus Derek. I would have loved that. Oh, well.
I know.
You guys are making these every 2 months. It's there's time. Tina sees the nominees, and she's not surprised. She's not mad. It's personal, and she's not. And I'm like, okay, this is a new take, Tina. I'm potentially here for this. I feel like there's obviously a maturation process that happens with all of us. You know, when you guys are getting the call, you know, to come back after 18 seasons and 13 seasons and 15 years, you know, a lot of you actually have jobs. A lot of you actually have marriages. A lot of you actually have kids. And, you know, you're not a bunch of bachelors and bachelorettes that are playing for a Razor scooter.
No. However, I mean, that's a good point. And but I also think that we also face, for some of us, we have to then face some of the fears of 18 years ago and may not be able to hold it together, you know, or may revert to something that we ran from or worked hard to get away from. You know, I think that was something interesting and powerful about Tina's story, you know, where she could sense it and she saw it. She said, well, the old Tina, you know, and she took the reins and took control of her stress and frustration and was to say, hey, you know, I'm not going there. Yep.
I like seeing people in different stages of their lives. And, you know, and I think this is, you know, I think this is really just a psychological evaluation more so than a reality competition show is you know, is what it really is. So, but next, Melinda is sad about her performance. Understandable, but at the same time, like, you know, just the variables of blindly jumping off a trampoline, don't beat yourself up. You know, so and you have every right to, you know, to be sad. So next we learn that Steve would rather go against Tech, and Nehemiah is gonna let Tech know. And guess what? Tech Money is mad. Steve, you done fucked up.
It takes a lot. Tech mad.
It takes a lot to get him mad.
He was pissed off, and I was here for it. That was amazing.
No.
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, I was like, okay, I don't know where I'm at on Steve. And then last week working with Casey, I'm like, okay, I'm Team Steve. This week, I am not Team Steve.
So, it's hard to watch, you know. Yeah, it
took me on the roller coaster ride, and I was right 2 weeks ago when I wasn't sure, but I was leaning no. So,
do you think Steve will be returning?
Sure. I mean, if it's up to me, no, because I got a list of 100 other names I want to see. So there's people that when you play, I want to see you play again, not on the next one, but, you know, maybe on the one after that. And then there's people that, you know, thanks. I just wanted the update. We're good. So I wasn't asking for the Steve update. I got it. So I think I'm good.
It's tough to watch anyone fumble with the friendships and fumble with the game real hard, you know. That's just hard to watch, I think, you know. And I, in some ways, I relate to maybe some of the mistakes that were made, that he'd made, just being so long out of the game. I was like, wow, yeah, like, noted, you know, don't do that.
No, thanks, Steve. You're giving life lessons to anyone else considering coming back. Don't pull a Steve.
Yeah, I mean, being unpredictable and untrustworthy in this game is just that's just your sentence to that's your ticket home.
Yeah.
Well, so, and in Steve's case, it's like, don't underestimate what someone is able to do. Just because you think that they're smaller than you doesn't mean that that's the correct matchup.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but they had his back. I mean, he was a member of the Three Kings plus Steve Alliance. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't the Four Kings, but still, he was still a member of the Three Kings plus Steve.
Do you actually think, though, that he knew about the Three Kings? I don't even know if they told him what the
maybe
name was.
Not. See, that's a possibility, because like Nehemiah is just learning how to be evil, and maybe the extent of his evil is like he clued two guys in. It's just like, what about the fourth guy? Well, he's cool. You know, it's just like sometimes you need to tell people that they're cool.
Hmm.
So, but he had to have known that they had his back, even though, you know, he's not the fourth king.
Yeah, because like they didn't include him in the alliance name. He was just kind of like the little outlier piece that was
it was Three Kings plus Steve.
So, I would hope that he realized that they had his back, because clearly they were all working together. But then, as he said, it's self-survival. But I'm just saying, you know what? Run the money with Tyler and see what happens.
I like Steve. I think Steve beats Tyler.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's exactly, you have to realize what the elimination can be anything.
I think Steve beats Tyler in most things.
The only thing I think that Steve does not beat Tyler in is a headbanger, because Tyler, I think, has more weight.
And Steve's not going in hands first.
He won't. He'll
protect him. Oh, that's true. He can't come away with a broken hand. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he might just sit out of a headbanger. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially a pole wrestle, something like that. I don't think Steve's getting his hands on that.
Yeah, Steve's not fucking up his hands for that.
Yeah, the social ramifications of these choices are huge, and it's just wow. It's interesting for me to see. It's like, wow, yeah, real quick. You know, even if you pick someone you thought you could beat, it ain't about who you could beat. It's how many people you just pissed off.
Yeah,
I win mean, or lose.
Yeah, I was about to say, if he wins, what does he walk back into?
No,
so the King's Palace is done with him.
Yeah,
and the other group doesn't want him.
Yeah, he'll just come back into the house like, you know, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and just, you know, nowhere to go, trying to find a home.
Yeah, so, no, I did.
The worst.
Yeah, poor gameplay. So now it's time for Tina. She's got frying pans, and y'all are fake motherfuckers. This is the Tina I signed up for. Welcome, Jody, to my bad side. And Jody, smart move, chooses not to engage, and Jasmine informs us she's too old for this shit.
I love that. It was like straight at her. I'm too old for this. It just the levity was there. It was then the wisdom.
It was perfect. Just, I mean, it's Lethal Weapon. Mm. You know, I'm too old for this shit, Murdoch, whatever.
Because back in the day, you know, Jasmine would be all over this shit. She lived for the drama.
Once again, these are people that are coming from families and jobs, and they're just like, look, man, like, stop. Like, listen, we got allies, but we also have an open bar that we'd like to enjoy. So
even still, if anyone came at me clanging pots and pans too, I think just Tina did such a good job at making sure no one's gonna clap back. She hit the home run and was like, nobody's messing with me. You know, she invited it, but there was no way into that. She was done. That was the mic drop.
It was a walk-off home run.
The pan drop.
Yeah, it was the pan drop. I like it. So, and I guarantee she got a gif out of it. So she can ride that gif for another 10 years.
I just wonder, like, for some, I mean, some of the like I said, the passion involved here, like, and something I would ask Tina is like, is this how much do you think this up? Was it 30 minutes before you were like, I'm about to go clang these pans? Or is it just like, boom, you're just so in the moment. It's like, here we go. Whatever's in front of me. I'm curious.
She feels reactionary to me. She's a good reaction. Like there's good reactionary in reality television. There's bad reaction. Like there's some people, you know, like a situation and they're just like, oh, I'm going to do this. And it's just like, ooh, you should have thought about that. And it's just like, you know, and your read was horrible on all of it. Whereas there's just great television people that, you know, that opportunity is sitting there. You're just like, okay, boom, let's fucking go. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to hit a home run.
Yeah. She totally feels like that. She's got that presence about her.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that reality television royalty. And I think Tina's right there with that royal is just like, man, if you go 9 for 10, you know, you hope production's smart enough not to show the one you don't. And then you're just like, man, she's just perfect. And that's what you're looking for. And none of us are perfect. So yeah, just don't show that one. You're good. So yeah, she hit a home run. Good for you, Tina. So Melinda, I'm guessing was sharing a room with Tina and unfortunately has to be there or just, you know, just wanted to be, you know, a friend. Regardless of the fact, Melinda says, would you like some green tea? To calm down.
The only thing she can think of is just to say green tea, like nothing else.
The effort that matters, you know, the thought that counts on that one. That was also a good green levity tea. There.
Banana bread. Can I make you some banana? Would that make you happy?
That was like the silent John A hug, you know, when John A, she doesn't say anything. She just, the arms go out.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can't, you know, it's such a nice gesture.
Yes. So now it's time for the arena. Is that, is that what we're calling it this time? Okay. And so what is our elimination, Lauren?
Okay. So for the elimination, they are going to be playing switchback. So there are 6 lit skulls in the arena, 3 for each person. They're going to start on their own side, run across the arena, and turn off their opponent's skulls. First person to switch all of their opponent's skulls off while having at least one of their skulls still lit wins the elimination and gets a life shield.
Yes, very important, the life shield. So I feel people ask me all the time, and I mention this, I don't mention every podcast because it would just be redundant, but like I keep getting inboxed. They're just like, fair play, you got to do the challenge. I can't do the challenge. I would like, I don't know. There's no male I could beat in a hall brawl. None. But I haven't figured out a female that I could beat in a hall brawl. Okay. So please stop asking. I'm not made for, I'm made for Survivor and I shouldn't even be made for that. Okay. I don't know what, like, God gave me just one extra thing to make that work for me, but I shouldn't even be good at that. So, but this eliminate, I was just like, hey, I could do this one. This is one, but you know, you're not guaranteed you're going to get the light switch elimination. So the hall brawl is still sitting there. So the answer continues to be no. What did you think about the light switch?
I felt the same way. We're right there, dude.
Right.
I felt the same way. I'm like, I can do this. This is cool. You know, I mean, like, you know, they managed to like willingly make it physical, which was exciting because they just got their own issues to work out in the arena. But that idea of this, like, I mean, they're doing suicides back and forth, but I love the idea of the mad scramble. You don't even have to overthink it. It's just the mad scramble. It's a run to the death. You know, that's fun. I could go against anyone with that. That's a good time. And I just think I want to try that. It's one of those things I want to like try on the beach with my friends.
And the highlight, of course, is Steve thinking he's going against a friend that does not know that he wanted to go against him. It was just like, oh, this is going to be friendly fire. Like, no big and tech money throwing in the shoulder to an unsuspecting Steve out of the gate was great. Because you see afterwards, like, you know, you see the big eyes and then you see the smile going, you know, motherfucker, if I actually hit you, I win.
Oh yeah, and they got the shot to get the slow. They got the feet coming up off the ground. It's like, oh man, yeah.
Would you ever guess Tech Money could have taken Steve?
Never, no. Yeah. And Tech is like, he sharpened his pencils, man. I mean, I'm excited for more.
Yeah.
You know, Tech's got a lot. He's got a lot behind him, and it's not just funny. It's not just being funny.
I love it.
He get mad, and I've never seen him like that.
Yeah.
Never seen him like that. And strategy is coming out, and his heart's in the game. You could see there are some people who over time, it's probably with Survivor 2, you can sense their sort of level of confidence, and it sort of changes through whether you win eliminations, whether you don't, whatever happens throughout your days. And some people, it's just like up, up, and up, and you can see Tech, like he's really just he's refining his game.
I'm for a Tech money win on All Star 2. I mean, jeez. If this is scripted, I'm writing Tech money, giving the check. I mean, it's a better amazing. Show.
It's good. And he's good. He's great to watch for all the right reasons.
Awesome. I love going into it. He goes, the flying Hawaiian is going to be flying back to Hawaii.
Well, and you look back to like where he was in season one and now what he's doing in season two. And I will say, if he does make a final, he has really good endurance. So he definitely has a shot. He has so many different strengths. Yeah, is he the biggest guy out there? Absolutely not. But he can do so many other things well.
He gets into a final, he's got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's not, yes, you won a final. How much of it was just core body strength that, like, it was the endurance and all that more so, right?
Yeah, the final gets into, well, at least the one that I did. It was a very physical, mental thing. It's just you have to remember that you arrive with a tank that's like half full or quarter full when you start. You know, you've all been ground down. Hopefully you're not too injured or anything when you even start the final. And so it's physical and exhausting and endurance. It's all the things. But it's mindset, because like, it's true that even when you think you're fucked, you're only halfway fucked. It's like, you got more in the tank. Like that's a mindset thing that some people still have and some don't, you know. And Tech's at that point now, you can see he's like, He's full steam ahead.
Yeah. So if Tech can avoid another elimination, and he could win another elimination, but if he doesn't have to, and I'm hoping he doesn't, like as great as this was, as fun as this was to watch, I really liked it, but like he paid his dues. Let's throw some other people in instead. We get Tech in a final. As you said, I think his heart and his head is exactly where it needs to be for a final.
Yeah, it's really, that's every, that chemistry before you start, you know, is everything. And he's on his way there.
So, and Tech, the humble winner. I mean, I feel like I was watching Yes out there. Yes, when you were, I can't remember what episode it was on All Star Season 1 when you go, Yes is nobody's bitch. Did you?
I don't remember.
You did not.
Yes is sitting here saying, wait, when did this happen?
Yeah, Tech Money did not subscribe to the Yes book of Melody.
He's happy, man. He gets to celebrate, dude. He earned it.
Yes.
Go crazy. And the next day, you got to start again, though, because it only lasts, it's very short lived. You end up at the bottom in it real fast.
So yes, Tech is nobody's bitch, and Steve, aloha means hello and goodbye.
I mean, I do have to ask, which celebration was better though? Tech's celebration or when Ayana got that first elimination win, because she let you know.
They're comparable. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that first elimination was so emotional and like I almost wanted to cry, but like this just everything I've loved about Tech Money from Real World New Orleans all the way up to now, like this felt like the bow on it. So I think for me, just for all the time I put in and all the time that Tech put in, this one is the best for me.
Yeah, it's huge. He's on fire because he doesn't just bring the heat in the interviews, which we know that's like his strength, but he's bringing the heat in terms of strategy in the house. He's working out his strategy. And then he's also, then his biggest thing to overcome is like these eliminations and make sure he can survive in the arena. He's like, oh, I just brought the heat to that too. He's on fire. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm now, talking about where Tech's kind of standing socially in the house, do you think there's a good chance that he can keep avoiding elimination? Because I just see him probably going in again because I think
Tech doesn't piss anybody off. Tech brings everybody up. He's like an asset to have around in any group, on the bus, around dinner time, whatever it is, when he's around. That's what I think is kind of amazing for someone like him to advance in the game. It's very different than others who are like, think. Okay, we'll sort out these people, send them home, lie, cheat, steal, whatever you got to do. He's the opposite. He's bringing up everybody with the humor, with all of his wittiness and everything. And he walks in whenever he walks in the room, people start going, "Hey, what's up, man?" He just walks in and he doesn't talk shit ever. Yeah. His game.
You put up Tech after earning his way to stay. You put up Tech now. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he's super, super likable. But I was only saying because Tech's name has come up so many times prior to this elimination. And that was my only concern for him. But I do think if other people are considering, he already went in, let's try and get out some other people. Because Tech showed that, like, I mean, if you go against him, he's probably has a good chance to take you out now.
I think they feel he has a stronger chance than he did prior to this elimination, but I think a lot of people see him as potentially an easier, but I feel like he earned his stripes. Like, do you subscribe to the philosophy of if you went in and you won, let's look at the next person? Is that your mindset, or
mean like don't throw them in again?
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part.
I think no.
No. No. You're like, keep going, motherfucker. All right.
I could be convinced otherwise. I don't have like some deep seated reasoning other than like I do feel like we bust our ass on every challenge. And so if you wind up at the bottom and you're going in, you're going in. I don't care if you've been in five times. If you did bad five times on five challenges, you're going in five times.
And but you're based, also, so you're but then also, the
well, there's the daily, you're going off the daily, but then there's also, of course, the house vote. And with the house vote, if they've got a reason to throw you in one day, and then they got a different reason to throw you in another day, that's fine with me. And then if it's someone, you know, there was someone like me who never got thrown in because the house felt, oh, you know, yes is earning his keep, yes is busting his ass, we all bust ass. I'm still subscribing to that idea where, like, it's not like we all should get a turn in the arena. Oh, hell no. We don't all get a turn in the arena. We all get a turn to not be in the fucking arena and to stay the hell out. And some of us do and some of us don't.
But, like, with Tech, do you think Tech's kind of earned the right not to go back in?
Maybe because he might earn the right because he's such a social asset to have in the house.
Yeah.
At a time where, especially this is a mark where you're past the halfway point, stress is really kicking in for some people. It's around every day. And to have someone around who can keep the social fabric tight, I mean, I think there's a reason to keep them around just for their own sanity and for people to feel strong and stuff. So I think that he won't really earn his way into the arena. I think he's earning his way out of the arena because he's got a great social game.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
The factor to this season as well, like if you come in last in like the daily challenge, then you automatically go in. So that could be another factor on how Tech could end up being in there. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens because he is super likable in the house. And as you said, a little bit past the halfway point. So I think there's other fish to fry in the house, bigger guys that people might not want to see necessarily in the final.
Yeah, and that too, if people are feeling like, oh, maybe Tech's good to have around for the final because I might have a chance in running with him or teaming up with him or whatever. You know, he's a good middle candidate in that regard, you know.
Yep. So, and for those of you wondering, the reason Tech won is Steve missed a button. So his perfect hands could not perfectly press a button.
Yeah, that's the worst.
How great is it that his... Like, his hands are what cost him the elimination.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, poetic justice. The irony. It's the gift. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just watched The Gift of the Magi.
That's my biggest fear in any of these is that like you drop the stupid thing. I dropped a ring and got sent home, although I was like third in ranking of all the males, but it didn't matter. I just like dropped a ring, DQ'd, sent home. and in the past. And so that's the big, that haunts us in the challenge house. These sort of really dumb mistakes that follow you around forever. That's the worst.
Well, as exciting as that challenge was, let's go to the women's eliminator. It is scored by our good friend Pete with Simply Red's If You Don't Know Me By Now. And we learned that Tina actually likes Melinda, and as a result, we'll just calmly walk to the middle of the arena, stand there, arms crossed, and allow Melinda the win. Where are we on this? Is this an okay exit for a queen?
We came to see, talking about Tina being passionate and bringing the heat all the time. That's the Tina we all know. That's what we want to see. That's what we love, her going all out, you know. So that was a tough one.
Do you think she got in her own head?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. I don't know all the details. I haven't spoken with her about it, but yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I'd hope for all of us that that's a contract that we do all sign up for in terms of our own, with ourselves, to like show up and go hard. Everyone puts their asses at risk in these challenges, and we put our ass at risk in these eliminations. And that's what we're all there to do, you know? Yeah. So that's tough to watch her just sit that one out.
Yeah. I don't hate her for it. I mean, because she's just such great television, and she was great up until that moment, but I don't like it.
No, that's no fun for anyone, you know. Yeah. Even if she has a good reason and good points behind what she's doing, it was like, that's just, I don't know, still gotta go right. Hard.
Because she, I don't like, feel like didn't that was expect Tina. To go in, and no. Then she felt blindsided, felt betrayed by everyone. But everyone wanted to see her compete. I mean, you even hear Melinda, like, I wanted you to play, because that's something for Melinda as well. You want to get that win knowing that your opponent gave everything that they had. So it kind of takes something away from you. Yes, a win is a win, but you also want to know that you were able to beat somebody else and you just didn't get it handed to you.
I mean, I guess maybe this is a good point. It's like, you really got to want to be back in that house. Yeah. And you got to know that house is a safe place for you. And if Tina felt like, oh, this house, there's nobody in this house who I could trust or has my back, and it's going to, you know, blindside me like this. Or if I had it all wrong, she's like, I don't even want to fight my way back into that house. In fact, I want to go to my home house.
With so no kids.
In that regard, you
no
know.
No kids, no I job, and a pool.
I know. So, yeah, that's a tough one to watch, though, because we just wanted, you know, we're all there hungry, fighting for it, you know, every day. Yeah.
And as far as earning a win in the arena and potentially not being nominated again because you won, Melinda doesn't have that now. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, Melinda can't go, hey, like, I went to the arena and I won my way back. They're like, no, you didn't.
That happened to Beth on mine, right, where Beth wound up, Arissa was chosen to go against Beth, and then Arissa quits, and then Beth is just standing there, and we're like, Beth, you won. You scared her so bad. You know, you pulled the ultimate. She was so scared. You didn't even have to do it. That's great. And Beth's like, that's not great. I'm going to get thrown in so quick.
I'm going
now.
Back in. Like, yeah, exactly. I could have got this one and, you know, been like, all right, guys, remember?
Yeah.
So Tina took that away from the boss. So yeah, anyway, it was disappointing. However, I still love Tina. Mm-hmm. Not happy with that. As I said, I just feel like there's shit going on in her head. We don't know what that was. And, you know, you can't sit there and go, you know, I would have, you don't know. So I know I would have, but you don't know what's going on in Tina's head at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope this isn't the end of Tina. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I hope it isn't. I want to see more. I want to see more of who we saw in the first four episodes. So maybe, just maybe. And we get next time on the challenge is a preview for the second half. So we have officially hit the halfway mark, folks. We are there. Whew.
Unlike the regular 19 episode season we get with like the regular challenge, we get only a 10 episode season with All Stars.
Perfect.
Perfect amount of time. It doesn't drag out. There's no lull in the middle because there's really not that much time.
Yes. So yes, as a whole, are you loving the season?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm loving it. This is boring, but I'm studying it. I mean, I know some of the people, they're my friends, especially the All Stars 1 crew. They're my homies and I'm rooting for them and I hope they do really well. I know what they're dealing with. I know that, and then those that I don't know, like Tina and Melinda and others, they're dealing with things that I know are just super complicated and beyond what we just see. So it's like, I'm loving getting to know the people and learn more about the people. And I do feel new in this whole challenge family thing, our little dysfunctional circus family or whatever we are. And I do like watching them all. I do just, when it's hard, I feel for them because I know it's hard to be injured or to be scared or to have things at home you have to deal with or histories. It's rough. So I feel for them. It's a mix.
And as far as the evolution of the game from what we've seen to 1 to 2, are you cool with this or you're like, yeah, 1 was good. Don't fuck with it.
They're all just so different. I like difference. So maybe that's what's good, is that it's difference. If this was like 1, who wants to watch that? That's just boring. So I like that it's different. And okay. I hope that, and I want to see new things and new ideas. And, we talked a lot about tech, but people who bring a game that isn't just like a snarky game, but also bring a game that's all about, being an asset in the house, being funny, being positive, I like that stuff too. That's generally where I kind of reside. And I'm looking for new stuff. I hope All Stars 2 can be as fresh as All Stars 1. That's the goal. And so if I even come back, it's like, I'm fresh. The show will be fresh. That's what this is about. That's what fans, I think, want to see. That's what we want to bring. We're different every time. I'm a different person now. I'm totally different than when I did All Stars 1. So there's no way I could do it the way it was.
There you go.
And it won't be. It is what it is,
So yes, with that, where can everyone find you on social media?
Oh, I'm yes on everything on Instagram. Catch me there.
Catch you there. Don't go to Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. I'm Activist Architect on Twitter.
Okay. I didn't know you.
Yeah, I'm Activist Architect, but that's also, I'm on the zoning board, and that's sort of more my local politics and housing activism and things like that. A little different.
Okay, well, if you want to learn something, go to Twitter. If you want to see Yes playing on the beach with his kids, go to Yes on Everything on Instagram.
Yeah, that's us. It's just random highlights of life. That's
I love it.
What it's doing for me at this point, how it's working for others, and getting to know other people. Also, December 18th. Challenge Mania, where I'm doing me, Darrell, Janelle, and Kendall are going to be out in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club.
Sweet.
Derek, too.
And the link is available?
It's live.
The link is available on your Instagram?
It's not, but Challenge Mania Live, it's called. You can find it.
There you
Challenge
go.
Challenge Mania Live. We're out there December 18th. It's going to be fun. It's in person. We'll be on stage. We'll be doing all kind of random good stuff.
I love it. And anyone that wants to catch me, I'm going to be in Loveland/Cincinnati, Ohio this Wednesday, December 15th for the Survivor Season 41 finale with Matt Bischoff, Roger Bingham, a lot of other castaways. We'll be watching the finale live. You can join us. Go to SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com this Wednesday in the greater Cincinnati area. So join us there live. We're going to be at Bishop's Quarter. But yeah, so lots of fun stuff for reality TV people that watch, that want to get that one step closer to their heroes and villains. They can join us live. So yes, thank you so much.
You
are a breath of fresh air in the world of reality television, and I sincerely mean that. And I look forward to the opportunity that I can do anything with you in the future because I love you. I think.
Well, thanks. Well, thanks. I feel the same. Like I said, you're sort of a wonderful welcome into this community for me. So it's great to see all the love and care and attention that you and all your fans and everybody puts into this. And it's cool. You got a good community here.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me over.
And I'm looking for what you think of Australian Survivor. So
I'll check it out.
Check it out.
Be in touch anytime. Be in touch with me. You know how to get a hold of me. It'd be awesome.
I'll be messaging you tomorrow asking you, hey, what did you think? I have to know.
You let me know.
Thank you, Lauren. Always a pleasure to get to talk to you and hear the insights that you have about the challenge.
Yes. Thank you, Lauren. Good to have you.
And anyone looking for the tea, become a patron. Go to adfreensfw.com. I will be talking about my weekend with some other challengers. Go to adfreensfw.com. Become a patron. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, I'll send your money back. All right. Yes. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. Everyone watching, thank you. And until next time, bye.
See you. Thank you. See you.